Leviticus chapter 13. Chapter 13. In the last chapter, it concerned a declaration of uncleanness after childbirth. It appears that while this mother's body is healing and in the process of, I'd call it purifying itself, that she is especially isolated during the first 2 weeks for a man child, or was it two weeks, and 33 days afterwards for the man child, a total of 40 days. And for the female, if she bore a female, it'd be 2 weeks, and then 66 days, or a total of 80. So it's doubled in the instances of a female child that's born. And whatever all that is about, I don't know, but it's there, and we try to glean something from it that would be helpful. At least a couple of things that we pointed out along the way. There is no sin in the idea of the act of conception. There's no sin in giving, in having a child. Some kind of think that, or there might be a thought maybe that there's sin for bearing a female child as opposed to a male. It's amazing what people will think, thinking that the female child, the female gender, is an inferior gender, but it's not true. We would remind you that the same sacrifice was offered by the mother for instances of both instances of bearing either a male or female. Then the Lord directs the priesthood now to, in this chapter, identify leprosy. There's a lot of details, and I get my head swimming with them, trying to categorize and all these things. And so I hope that these can kind of settle down a little bit. I need some time to let it rest a little while. All of the details, if you've even looked at it at all, you'll know what I'm talking about. But he now directs the priesthood to identify what is here called leprosy. It's a very serious affliction, which the priesthood, they can't prevent it any more than they can bring healing for it. The disease is apparently the result of some divine judgment. As the Lord alone directs the stroke of leprosy, he alone brings the remedy. In Leviticus, the next chapter, verse 34, you'll see there, as Moses, the Lord directs through Moses to the people, when you be come into the land of Canaan, which I give to you for a possession, and you'll notice, and I put the plague of leprosy in a house of the land of your possession. It goes on. In Numbers chapter 12, verse 9 and 10, Numbers chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, notice again the judgment of the Lord is put upon one named Miriam. The anger of the Lord was kindled against them, Aaron and Miriam, for something they had done. But we want to notice, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Again, in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 27, it's interesting that, you know, you want to get into the events, but we just want to pay attention to why this was brought up on some. And there in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 27, a divine judgment from the Lord. The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman, the Syrian, shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever, referring to Gehazi. And he went out from the presence From his presence, a leper as white as snow. And again, in 1 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 20. 1 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 20. King Azariah, I think otherwise called Uzziah. Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, Uzziah, the king. Behold, he was leprous in his forehead for what he had done. He had done something he should not have done. And they, as priests, they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out because that the Lord had smitten him. So it was a judgment from the Lord. In chapters 13 and 14 before us, we have the law of leprosy. It says so in the closing part of chapter 14. You'll notice this is the law for all manner of plague of leprosy and scowl or scowl, and for the leprosy of a garment and of a house, and for a rising or a swelling or an inflammation, and for a scab or the rashes, scales, warts perhaps, and for bright spots being boils, to teach when it is unclean and when it is clean. This is the law of leprosy. And so the Israelites, particularly the priesthood, is charged with determining this. And obviously it's for their welfare. And literally, it looks to me like it is a procedure that they do, I just assume, for the welfare. There's nothing here indicating that it's contagious. I just get the sense because they are put out of the camp if it's been determined so. But nothing says that. They are unclean and are to dwell outside the camp. I don't know about a contagion. I think for the most part, as we read this, it seems like everybody might be in some way affected. So I'm going to go into the reading of this. Obviously, we believe it's literal. But I want to finish portions of this scripture with just a kind of a type that might help us, because frankly, I believe that leprosy is a good indication, a good type for sin and how we are affected by it. And that by typically applying these things, we can learn about ways that we can be helped from the sin that is in us. And in this case, that is in the people of Israel. So I just want to move through these verses. I kind of got them compartmentalized into their little paragraphs or their subjects. And then I'll give you something that might be a blessing. But we're just going to leave the rest of the details for the most part alone. In verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, meaning a swelling, an inflammation, a scab, or a bright spot, probably defined in verse 23 as a kind of a boil. It may some kind of a blistering thing. And it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague. Notice that. Like the plague. It's the plague is a sore of some sort or a wound of leprosy. That's kind of the idea behind it. The plague, sore, wound of leprosy. So the first signs of leprosy are looked for, and you have early indications of some swelling perhaps, or a scab develops or boil. Then at that, he shall be brought. I would assume that, you know, he might take it upon himself to be willing to come. I've got this. Take a look at it. But if he's not willing to do that, others about him would go, hey, you've got something here that needs to be looked at. You're coming with us. It's that kind of an idea. If you don't, we'll do it. So it puts a responsibility on each other. He shall be brought to the priest, Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons, the priest. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, on this sore. And when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in the sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh. It has gone into him. It is a plague of leprosy, and the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. If the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, and be in the sight not deeper than the skin, and the hair thereof be not turned white, then the priest shall shut him up that hath the plague this thing 7 days. So it's, in one instance, it's deeper than the skin, and the hair in it has turned white. He's unclean. He's got a leprosy. And if it's not deeper than the skin and it hasn't turned white, we don't know yet, okay? We've got to put the man in confinement. So, and the priest then, after the 7 days, verse 5, the priest shall look on him on the seventh day. And behold, if the plague in his sight be at a stay, it has not moved. And it explains that. And the plague, that sore, spread not in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days more. Not enough time to quite tell what's going on here. And the priest shall look on him again the seventh day, and behold, if the plague be somewhat dark. The word is, it's kind of dimmed. I might come across it again in just a moment, but it maybe another place is darkened. And the plague spread not in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is but a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. He's relieved. He's been diagnosed not to have this terrible disease. But if the scab spread much abroad in the skin, after that he's been seen, he's been given the go-ahead all the way to this point. Or maybe he's already been declared, and maybe things have changed, but whatever the case is, after he's been declared clean, if the scab spread after that, much abroad in the skin, after he's been seen of the priest for his cleansing, he should be seen of the priest again. And if the priest see that, behold, the scab spreads in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It's a leprosy. So it takes a little bit sometimes to make the determination. It's hard to tell sometimes about this plague of leprosy. It is a disease which seems to have something to do with Egypt, which is very interesting because Egypt is a type of the world. So it's a disease associated perhaps with Egypt. It is, in that sense, the man of the world's sin. It is every man in his original condition descended from Adam in that type. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15, begin at verse 15 of Deuteronomy chapter 28. I want you to notice, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe all, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses, and we've not even begun to cover them, but we want to focus on this idea of leprosy. All these curses come on thee and overtake thee. Verse 21, the Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption and with a fever and with an inflammation and with an extreme burning. And all of these things are being discussed in this chapter. And with the sword, and with blasting, with mildew, which we end up with, I think, in some part at the end of this chapter. And they shall pursue thee until thou perish, verse 27. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Israel. It's associated there. These are the boils that the Lord brought as a plague upon Egypt. The botch of Egypt. And with the emerods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. It's a divine judgment upon the children of God for willful disobedience against him. And so what? In verses 1 through 8, if I were just to kind of give a summary of this in a way of a type, we have here early indicators that the Israelite has leprosy. And there are early indicators of sin to which we as the people of God must be watchful against. We need to examine ourselves continually, and we depend upon one another to examine our lives for us in instances where we are ignorant or where we have just decided to cast off our eyes from our own lives and what we're doing, and we just kind of go on like happily-go-lucky. You know, we must continually examine ourselves to see if there's an outbreak of some sort of leprosy or sin in our lives. We must watch for this kind of a thing, the white hair and the sore that's deeper than the skin. We're talking about something that goes down to the depths. It's not just superficial. It's things that come out from the heart. And then it breaks out into the outward things that we do. If it isn't stayed, it'll spread. There's a difference between a scab and a leprosy. It's one thing to see the weaknesses, the infirmities that we have, and it's quite another to commit sin. We do have weaknesses, and I think sometimes we're not very good about discerning the difference. I struggle with weaknesses day in and day out. And they're not sin, though. And you have the same thing. You can't stop having a thought rise up in your heart. But you can do something to stop going after it. There are things like that. We have a body of sin, a nature to it. We cannot stop things from coming up, but we can arrest them from spreading in our lives if we would but be diligent to judge our lives moment by moment. That's what we need to come to. We need to start, if we're not doing that, that's what Christians learn to do. It's not preacher brethren alone that do that. It's not the deacon brethren. It's every brother and sister in Christ. As we learn to do that, we come into a closer fellowship with Him. We do have weaknesses, but they aren't acts of sin. Recognize the difference between having weakness and be proactive against what is really sin. There's nothing wrong with, let me show you a few things here, weaknesses. It's kind of odd, but maybe. Maybe not. There's nothing wrong with being an introvert. I hope not. Some of us are affected with that. We're withdrawn. We're not very social. But there's nothing wrong with being outgoing either, necessarily. There's nothing wrong with being easygoing. Or kind of, some people are just carefree, just carefree. There's nothing wrong with those things. I think it's kind of different personalities. But there's something wrong if maybe in the introvert's case, if he refuses to fellowship with the saints. We got to get out and meet the brethren. We got to have fellowship with one another. And the outward going, there's, you know, he might be too demanding of the other person. He doesn't understand how come he won't get bored like he does. So that's okay. But we can use these things and their weaknesses, but we can come into sin with them if we're not careful. We wouldn't want to just walk frivolously careless. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, one of the most notable texts of Scripture to help a believer have the victory over sin is here. Actually, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, and Philippians 4, 8 are two of the most helpful scriptures you'll probably find in the Word of God. You'll find there to help us in such a practical way. You know, cast down imaginations. You know why we don't? Because we don't want to. We relish in it. We love that thing. We play with it, and it gets us into trouble. Cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, that's a full-time job. That's our calling, brethren. That's where it is for you and me. There's no doubt in my mind. You'll be doing this in prayer time. You're going to do it as you sit tonight in the congregation. You're going to be doing this at your workplace. You'll do it wherever you recreate. You need to do this. In Philippians 4:8, it's the same way. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. We have to chase in our minds. We cannot let them roam free, because we'll go right to the pit every time. Chase in the mind. Now, the next points, beginning at verse 9, when the plague, this sore or wound of leprosy, is in a man. Now it's been determined he has it. But we want to look at this. We want to examine it. When the plague of leprosy is in a man, then he shall be brought unto the priest. Looks like he's got it. And the priest shall see him, and behold, similar things. Does it have white hair? And is it deeper than the skin or not? If the rising of the white be in the skin, and it have turned the hair white, and there be quick raw flesh in the rising. He says it's an old leprosy in the skin of his flesh, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean, and it shall not shut him up. It's unnecessary. It's enough to know he's unclean. In these three verses, 9 through 11, we have the undeniable fact of leprosy and the undeniable fact of sin. When the plague of leprosy is in a man. He calls it here an old leprosy. In this there is, notice, the quick, raw flesh, I think, which portrays our living after the flesh and in sin. Something of the old man, and perhaps some old sin we thought that had so long been forsaken has now come back into our lives, and we are by it defiled. We're never clear of them. They'll always be there. The inclination to go back to the things we did before. David said in Psalm 38, verse 7, I'll start with verse 3 and then read verse 7. He said, there is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. He had committed sin against the Lord. He was being judged. He says in verse 7, my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I'm feeble and sore broken. I've roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart pants, my strength fails for me. As for the light of mine eyes, it is also gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me. And they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things, and imagine deceits all the day long. In verse 18, for I will declare my iniquity. And that's where we need to come to. He says, I'll be sorry for my sin. And I think that sounds familiar to every one of us. That at some point in our life, in some careless moment, some old thing that we thought we had been total history, we'd never be affected again, had come back. Always watch. Always watch and examine the life. So he goes on in verse 12. If a leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him. I have read this, I don't know how many times, and it found this so perplexing. If it break out abroad in the skin, the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague, from his head even to his foot, whithersoever the priest looks, then the priest, this guy had gotten it, and he had completely turned white. Then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy have covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. It is all turned white. He is clean. This person's body was thoroughly affected. It had been totally taken up with this leprosy. And there's no other sign of affliction remaining but that his skin turned white. There's no openness to it. It's all closed up. And in this case, he's declared clean unless, verse 14, he breaks out in this. But when raw flesh appear in him, he shall be unclean. And the priest shall see the raw flesh and pronounce him to be unclean. For the raw flesh is unclean. It's a leprosy. Or if the raw flesh turn again and be changed unto white, he shall come to the priest. And so he might go either way. And if the priest shall see him, and behold, if the plague be turned into white, then the priest shall pronounce him clean that has the plague. He's clean, it says. So verses 12 through 17, obviously there's been a complete or a thorough outbreak of leprosy so that his whole body is covered from foot to foot. And I don't know if I understand these things correctly, but I'm just trying to get something that we can apply here and be helpful in some way. And I think we have something. He's completely broken out with this. From head to foot, it's clear. He's turned all white. But because there's not the quick raw flesh, the man is declared clean. The type might be that though we lived after the flesh, in times past, we should not continue in that way. In Romans 8, verses 12 and 13, it says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. And it's like another outbreak. We were once like this, completely white with it, with sin. But since we've come to Christ, we've now healed in that respect. And there's no open wounds. And so he says, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And as in this instance with the leper, if at any time quick raw flesh appear, he's defiled. He's instantly defiled. The priest sees it, unclean declaration. So the sinner, saved by grace, that will not mortify the deeds of his body and fails to walk in the Spirit, is unclean. He's defiled. Now that potential stands for every child of God who would walk after the flesh. That potential is always present with us as long as we're in this mortal body. That's the way it is in this life. I tell you, I forget it. I keep wanting this to be gone. I don't want it to hear, but that's not how it is right now. We're going to walk in this body until the time either that I go into his presence or the Lord comes. And only then I'm going to be changed out of this thing. But we're going to be glad when it's passed. In Romans 7, verse 18, it's an ugly thing. The Apostle Paul said this, and we can all that know the Lord say this very thing. He says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. And that is only by faith. Amen. In verse 18, next part, the flesh also, in which even in the skin thereof was a boil and is healed. In the place of the boil, there be a white rising, or a bright spot, white and somewhat reddish, and it be showed to the priest. You know, oh, this is gross. You know, people, you know, the kids probably said, this is sick stuff, you know. But it is. If we even thought about what sin is before the Lord, we would have that kind of an attitude. This stuff is just sick. If when the priest sees it, behold, it be in the sight, notice again, lower than the skin, and the hair thereof be turned white, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague. The sore, the wound of leprosy is broken out of the boil. It has grown up on this spot. But if the priest look on it, and behold, there be no white hairs therein, and if it be not lower than the skin, but be somewhat dark. Remember earlier, as it was said there before, somewhat dark, it's a dull. Then the priest is going to confine him for 7 days. And if it spread much abroad, that's not good. In the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It's a plague. But if the bright spots stay in his place, it doesn't spread not, it's a burning boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. So there's a boil, perhaps like to a type of blister, something which was definitely familiar to the Egyptians. These boils, we read earlier, were a judgment sent upon them from the Lord. And the Lord threatens the Israelites when they come into disobedience with these kinds of things. The Lord even directed Satan to Job. And in that, Satan covered his whole body with these things. And he scraped, remember, with a potsherd, covered himself with ashes. But here, if the boil had healed, and from it there rises something again, lower than the skin, has the white hair, is leprosy that has sprung up in the place where the boil was. That man is defiled, unless it's not lower than the skin and doesn't have the white hair. In that case, the affliction isn't indeed, it's not leprosy. The matter is superficial, but if it becomes lower than that skin, he's unclean. Sin is like this. There was some, if you will, what was this? It was an old wound that healed over and became leprous. It's an old wound from days gone by, whatever it might have been. But I think we all have them. And all was well until for some reason it became aggravated and irritated and infected. All over again. And so the issue becomes a matter that was deeper than the surface of the skin, a matter that reaches to the depth of the heart again. Our hearts became touched in an evil way. The old wounds must be kept old wounds. And both you and I know we have some of those in our past. We either move forward by the grace of God, or we can let this or that issue come up in our lives again and again and again and become defiled and by those things. And if we let them fester up, not only are we defiled, but sometimes we cause others to become defiled as well. One of the major things like this is bitterness. Bitterness is an old wound. Most of us probably have some old scars from. In Hebrews 12:15, he says this, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up troubled you, and thereby many be defiled. This particular wound can hurt many of the brethren if we will not put it away. As long as the old wound is stayed, we're clean. But if it breaks out, we're defiled. Verse 24, if there be any flesh in the skin whereof there is a hot burning like a fire. If there be any flesh in the skin whereof there is any where there is a hot burning, and the quick flesh, there it is, that burns, have a white spot, bright spot, somewhat reddish or white, then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the hair in the bright spot be turned white, same kind of things again and again and again. And if it be in a sight deeper than the skin, it's a leprosy broken out of the burning. Wherefore the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague of leprosy. But if the priest look on it, and behold, there be no white hair in the bright spot, and it be no lower than the other skin, but be somewhat dark, dull, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days. We need to confirm this. We need to judge it. We need to look at it. Give some time to it. And the priest shall look upon him the seventh day, and if it be spread much abroad in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is the plague of leprosy. And if the bright spots stay in his place and spread not in the skin, but it be somewhat dark, it is a rising of the burning. And the priest shall pronounce him clean, for it's an inflammation of the burning. So here, I think we can relate it to walking after the lusts of the flesh, the hot burning with quick flesh. Passions are called like a burning. You'll notice that. I can't remember. I've got the verse 9. I think it's 1 Corinthians 7. But there it says, if they cannot contain the passions between a man and a woman, are so much so, if they cannot contain themselves, that passion is so strong, let them marry. For it's better to marry than to what? Burn. That passion. And again, we notice similar symptoms as there was in all these other cases. The hair turned white and in the sight deeper than the skin. It is a locally affected area. Not everyone, I think. It's obvious. Not everyone's affected with the same things in the same way. Some people are prone to follow after these things, these certain lusts. To them, this is the problem. And to others, it's not. And then there are others that do these things, and it doesn't bother the others. We all have our own tendencies, but we do have something. We know we're headed for trouble when we begin to alter in our behavior to make a way to satisfy those lusts. The hair turns white. And when it takes the appearance that goes beyond the sight of the eye down to the depths of the heart, then there's trouble. Then we're defiled. And we must be watchful to prevent this kind of a thing. And brethren, we need to watch for one another to help us keep from such sin. Like this, the Israelite who set apart for 7 days and then re-examined, so we must be watchful against the first indications of this kind of a thing. Be warned, there are times when we become inflamed to lusts. In 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world. And as long as it stayed, we're clean. But once it breaks out, our leprosy is spread and we're defiled. In 1 Peter 4:1, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Verse 29, if a man or a woman have a plague upon the head or the beard. Now, it's kind of funny, but it says that. And I read somebody, I think it was John Gill, who says, yep, there are some women that grow beards. I think it's referring to the head and the face. I think that's all that's meant here. But if a man or a woman have the plague upon the head or the beard, this area where the hair grows, Then the priest shall see the plague, and behold, if it be deeper than the skin, and there be in it yellow thin hair, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a dry skull, even a leprosy upon the head or beard. And if the priest look on the plague of the skull, and behold, it is not in the sight deeper than the skin, and there is no black hair in it, then the priest shall shut him up that had the plague of the skull 7 days. And in the seventh day, the priest shall look on the plague, and behold, if the skull spread not, and there be in it no yellow hair, and the skull be not in the sight deeper than the skin, he shall be shaven. But the skull, that area, shall not he shave. And the priest shall shut him up that had the skull 7 days more. So leave that area alone, shave around it, and let's see what's going on. We need to judge it. And at the seventh day, the priest shall look on the skull, and behold, if the skull be not spread in the skin, nor be in the sight deeper than the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the skull spread much in the skin after his cleansing, it's obviously you can see it, the area is opened up where you can examine it, then the priest shall look on him, and behold, if the skull is spread on the skin, in the skin, the priest shall not, it's unnecessary to make any other determination. He doesn't have to look for the yellow hair. He's simply unclean. That's enough. But if the skull be in his sight as at a stay, and that there is black hair grown up therein, the skull is healed, he's clean, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. So in this area, I because it's the head with reference, I just kind of moved to that kind of a thought. As long as the early indicators are good, all is well. Doesn't appear deeper than the skin. There's no thin yellow hair. But if it takes the deeper to if it takes the deeper than the skin look and has in it the yellow hair, then it's leprosy. And some of this takes, well, obviously, it takes a good 2 weeks to prove that it's not that. Some things take time. And in this case, I believe the head would be a good place for thinking about things concerning knowledge. It takes time to manifest those who are taught of the Spirit of God and those who are not. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, obviously is a disciple. Not everybody that carries a Bible in their hand is a Christian. So be warned. We have to prove these things. It's our personal advantage that we have a vital interest in knowing what the Bible teaches. And sometimes we make mistakes in our understanding and or learning. We all do. We don't want to, but Christians will make mistakes. But Christians can, or at least they ought to be, correctable. Both young and old ones should be teachable. When we begin to hear, then we're beginning to learn. If we're talking, we're not learning. We're not hearing what the person might be saying. We have to be able to hear. We need to learn to hear. The better we hear, the better we'll learn. There's trouble when we cannot discern that we are. This is so true. There's trouble when we cannot discern that we're poor listeners. The leprosy of the head will break out, and then we're defiled. And if a man also or a woman have in the skin of their flesh bright spots, even bright, white bright spots, then the priest shall look, and behold, if the bright spots in the skin of their flesh be darkish white, again, like somewhat dark, same word, darkish white, it's a freckled spot that grows in the skin. He's clean. No alarm. And the man who, combine it with this next verse, and the man whose hair has fallen off his head, he's bald, he's clean. That's not a problem. And he that hath his hair fallen off of the part of his head toward the face, he's bald, He is what's called forehead bald, yet he's clean, not a problem. And if there be in the bald head or the bald forehead a white reddish sore, it is leprosy sprung up in the bald head or his bald forehead. Then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the rising of the sore be white reddish in his bald head or in his bald forehead, as the leprosy appeareth in the skin of his flesh, he's a leprous man. He's unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head. It seems to point out in these verses, to just draw something from it, that the things that are common among men, freckles and baldness, for baldness, or just complete, they cause no defilement and no concern, except be watchful for any changes which might indicate a leprosy. Otherwise, our weaknesses are an occasion to show the power of the grace of Christ in our lives. Why, in 2 Corinthians 12:10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. We don't want to be there, but if we'll learn this, it's important. When I am weak, then am I strong. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent. Every one of these cases now, every one of them. The leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague or the wounds shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He's unclean. He shall dwell alone, with outside the camp shall his habitation be. All sin is against God. Every issue that has been related where leprosy has been determined is treated the same. It's a grotesque disease and an offense to God. And healing can only come from the Lord. We all know that we come into the world sinners. And only by the grace of God shall any change be made in this miserable state. But it's true. Every sinner ought to be mourning for his sin. But it is only so for those whom the Lord has revealed the dreadfulness of the sin in the heart. If you know the Lord, you know about the sinfulness of, you know what sin is. If you don't know the Lord, you think it's okay, everybody's doing it, it's not a problem. We ought to grieve for sin. In some way, it's true that sinners saved by grace live in a continuous state of mourning for sin. I think that's part of what this is, the clothes rent, the head uncovered. Covered his lip, crying unclean, while at the same time, having the joy of the Lord because of his grace, forgiveness of sins. Paul said it, "O wretched man that I am." He didn't say was. He said am. Do you have a sense of sin? Do we know that? Paul was acquainted with it. He says, it almost sounds like a complete cry of despair. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Well, there ain't nobody but the Lord. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. What follows here, I'm reading all the way to the end, concerns garments. I just want to close the chapters. We'll move on. I don't know much about this. Let me read it. Try to just pay attention to it. Maybe there's something the Lord will bring to you, to me. The garment also that the plague of leprosy is in, whether it be woolen, a woolen garment or a linen garment, whether it be in the warp or woof, of linen or of woolen, whether in a skin or anything made of skin, If the plague be greenish or reddish, these are the only two colors that are concerned here, in the garment or in the skin, either in a warp or in the woof, or in anything of the skin, it is a plague of leprosy, and shall be showed to the priest. And the priest shall look upon the plague and shut it up that hath the plague 7 days. He'll isolate that garment. And he shall look at the plague on the seventh day. If the plague be spread in the garment, either in a warp or in a woof, it's like the breadth and the depth of this garment. You consider the entire surface area, all of it, or in any work that is made of skin, the plague is a fretting leprosy. It is unclean. It is translated in another place as prickling. I think it means like an irritant. So he shall therefore burn the garment, whether warp or woof, in woolen or in linen, or in anything of skin, wherever the plague is. For it is a fretting leprosy. It shall be burnt with fire. No question about it. And if the priest shall look, and behold, the plague be not spread in the garment, then there's another consideration. Either in the warp or in the woof, or in anything of skin, then the priest shall command that they wash the thing wherein the plague is, and he shall shut it up 7 days more. And the priest shall look on the plague after that it is washed. And behold, if the plague have not changed its color, and the plague be not spread, it is unclean. Thou shalt burn it in the fire. It is fret inward, whether it be bare within or without. On either side, it is it's like a corrosion of some kind that's eating into the garment. It seems to be the sense. And if the priest look, and behold, the plague be somewhat dark. There's that phrase again. It's kind of a dull area. After the washing of it, then he shall rend it out of the garment, or out of the skin, or out of the warp, or out of the woof. In other words, it seems to me like the garment that has been washed and set aside for a week, if the affected area appears darkened, dim, faded perhaps, then the garment may be salvaged, probably in some respects, you can disassemble it in the warp or woof, take it apart, or remove that affected part if it's in a skin, if it can be done, take that away. And if it appears still in the garment, either warp or woof, or in anything of the skin, it's spreading. It's flourishing, a flourishing plague. Thou shalt burn that wherein the plague is with fire. And the garment, either warp or woof, or whatever thing of skin it be, which thou shalt wash, if the plague be departed from them, then it shall be washed the second time and shall be clean. So it's quite a process for the garments. Whatever we might think of it, at least it seems like it's, we would call it some kind of a mold. But at least here, clothes are inspected for this thing that's in it. And there are two colors that are considered. And then if it's not spread, they can wash the garment, set it aside for a week, look at it. And if the color didn't fade, then they'd burn it. But if it faded, then the garment can be disassembled and salvaged to some respect. If the washing was apparently effective, wash it once more and it'll be clean. So finally, when I think of garments, I think of the things that we do, our works. We need to always be guarded about the things that we might allow into our lives, because some of those things we might wish we'd never permitted in the first place. We're prone to becoming addicted to just about anything. It could be video games. It could be it could be anything. None of the necessarily not sinful in themselves, but which become so. Don't let any of these things that we allow to run our lives get clear of whatever it is that seems to have a hold of us. They get so entwined in our lives. Get clear of them. To do that, it requires continual judgment and washing. Judgment and washing. Judgment and washing. Until we're free of it. Clear of it. It just don't sometimes happen overnight. I remember years ago, I've been probably near 40 years ago working for a company and had all sorts of video games, and I was playing those things. I had a blast. It was no big deal. You know, there's nothing wrong with video games. But there was something wrong with my playing the video games. It was such a harmless thing. I couldn't pray. I couldn't think. I couldn't do nothing but play that video game. And I was hooked. It sounded like the stupidest thing, but we're prone to something, and we need to watch out. The only way to get clear of it, you know what I had to do? Pray. And then I had to pray again. And I had to keep praying about it until I got clear of it. And that's the way it is sometimes. So what is this? It's the law of the plague of leprosy in a garment of woolen or linen, either in the warp or woof or anything of skins, to pronounce it clean or to pronounce it unclean. That's what the chapter is about. Thank you for your attention.